waiting for this morning. Thank you for this blessed meeting. The Word and your Spirit has a free course in every heart, in every life, in every mind. We ask it again as we receive your Word, honoring your Word, honoring your counsel, that your Word will find that good place in every heart and mind here, beyond experiences and nuances, opinions, thought patterns, even experiences that might hold so strong. We ask that ions are dashed as your Word proceeds with strength, power, and clarity, precision. It is received without struggle. We ask that there is revelation in your Word. Words of wisdom is ministered by the teaching of your Word. We ask your Lord this morning to get us a church, every man will be your Jesus. And as we see him, we see ourselves as he sees us in him. We pray. The questions in our hearts will be answered. Gray areas will have light shed upon them. We will be nourished up in your Word, Word of faith. We will be made wise in your counsel this morning. The end that will help will build that which you're building amongst us, godly relationships. Next, you will strengthen and counsel us as a church. You will teach us to see your Word, to see it the way you want us to see. These we ask and receive in revelation, in faith, in spirit, in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Ready for God's Word? All right. Glory, 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 glory. Okay. Hallelujah. Ready for the Word? Are we ready for the Word? Alright. Say, I rejoice. God's Word. Say, I receive God's Word. Amen. Matthew 28 is the text. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. So I'm just sharing along some lines, and I'm kind of opening a new teaching series up to us. That we had mentions of it, like our custom is. We mention it, then we teach it. You know, we introduce it, teaching. Then we teach, we build upon it. That's how we teach in our church here. We mention here and there, sandwich in teachings and emphasis. Then we'll come and look at the thoughts holistically, you know, like a mentioned Bible truth. Hallelujah. And then we can build systematically on it year in, year out. Matthew's goes to 28. In verse 18. Hallelujah. So you could just call it counsels, you know, on relationships. Hallelujah. Right? And it's from your pastor. Amen. In Matthew's Gospel 28, in verse 18, I want us all to read to 20 together, everyone. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. I'm sure there's no one here without the Bibles. If you're born again, you don't go to church without Bible. Are we together? Except you are not born again. It's okay to have, sometimes an unbeliever can walk into the meeting. Someone who is not born again can walk into the meeting. You know, sometimes, are we together? The services are open. Amen. They hear the word of God and faith is stirred up in their heart. And they believe to be saved. But, you know, so if an unbeliever is walking in, you don't expect the person to have the Bible. But if you're a Christian, that is, you're born again, you don't go to church without the Bible. Your church attendance is not complete. You shouldn't leave home without holding the Bible. Are we together? Yeah, the Bible. It's a godly practice. Some of us put our phones. Amen. I remember just some weeks ago, I stepped out of my house because I was in a hurry. It was a Sunday morning. And I remember I forgot my phone. Forgot your phone? Now I don't get to use my phones until around 6 p.m. on Sundays. 6, 7, 8, sometimes 9 or even 10 p.m. on Sundays. So, forgot my phone. I just went back. As I was going by, my thoughts were saying, you're backsliding. Let me backslide. So I got in, unlocked the doors, picked up my phone, and said, come on. Now I feel I'm ready for church. But imagine, it's church, and then it's Bible. Are we together? And someone said, but I have my Bible in my phone. No. No, no, no. No. No, no, that's not the Bible you should be serving, not the one on your phone. Are we together? As you're trying to read that one, you just see Buzz Alpha, what's up now? The deal don't true. You just click on it. The deal. Yeah, send me 50 years your crypto. I mean, just do some crypto deal. In service. Praise God. Hallelujah. I once checked someone's phone on service, and he sent the chat to someone. He said, "Yeah, that's what he sent out." Yeah, I were actually chatting. I collected the phone. He said, "Yeah, I know what you're doing." You know, looking like this, like, you know, when Peter was released from prison. Amen. Yeah. So look at Matthew 28. So are you with your Bibles? All right. You know, I can never get tired saying some things because it's the right thing. 18 to 20. Everyone wants to go. Jesus came to speak unto them. Now, when you have a Bible, you read it, okay? Now, when you are reading Bible in your room, it's even from when you are reading it in church. In church, it is loud. Is it clear? Is it clear? You are not reading it to yourself. You are reading it so another can hear you. And you are also hearing what the other person hears. Is it clear? That's church service. So, let's read together. Want to go? And Jesus came and said unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Hallelujah. All right. You know, for a very long time, some people thought that, someone actually thought that when we said amen, that I was the one that actually had the amen. Because when we are reading, the fellow had never read the text to see that there's actually amen there. Hallelujah. Alright. So quickly, we said last week, we started talking about discipleship. Amen. And we said the main goal of discipleship is for all to see alike. Right? 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 Yeah. It's for all to see alike. I mean, you couldn't have gone through a medical school of 6 years if you're in a Nigerian university. 6 years in medical school, and then you expected to have studied 100 level, 200 level, preclinicals. Then you do your clinicals from 300, depending on your school, and then 400. You write your MB. Are we together? You have MB1, you have MB2. Amen. Then you have your last MB. Are we together? Where you are going to stand before examiners external to your school, your teaching school. Then they come around and then they give you oral. You have orals. You have medical students there. You know orals, right? You have orals. And then what else? You have steeplechase. How many of you know what steeplechase is? Okay, yeah, medical students should know. Medical students should know steeplechase. So I'm a medical student, okay? I want to know those things, all right? So, you know, steeplechase, amen, and then they test your knowledge. And then you cross from there, you go to your house job or your housemanship. Are we together? Housemanship. And then imagine after you must have scaled through all that, you are going to be appointed as a doctor. And then all you do when you get to see a patient is that you just said, "Well, I don't see it that way." I don't see it that way. Amen. He said, "I don't see it that way. I have my own opinion to how to attend to this issue." There's nothing like that. Amen. The reason why you went through 5 or 6 years is so that you can have a uniformity of thought. So as many goes through the 6 years should think alike. Right? Medical doctors. Isn't it? Isn't it? Now, obviously, after then, your area of specialization might differ. Some will go into radiology. Some will go into surgery. Some will go into, you know, different psychology, and then all of that. Psychology, pediatrics, different aspects, gynecology, of obstetrician, and all that. So, obstetrics rather. So, you can have areas of specialization, but the preliminary training is to get all to be uniformly schooled. And that 6 years that you went through the medical school or the law school or school of engineering is what is called discipleship. To be trained. To be trained. To be taught. So, discipleship, as we said, is for the sake of a common understanding. Hallelujah. We are all are helped and made to see alike. Right? Now give me my pilots again. Yep. When we see alike, right, what will we do? I gave you how many things? Up. How many? Four or five? Five or four? Four. All right, let's see if it's four. Let's see if it's five. Because I added one later on. But what we said, number one, we said, all ought to what? See alike. Amen? Now, when all see alike, what will happen? All will think alike. Right? Right? Then all will end up what? Believing alike, right? We believe alike, right? Then, if we believe alike, we will what? We will what? Behave what? Alike. Are we together? That's how many? Four. Did I add another? All will do what? Worship alike. Because the essence of teaching God's word is worship. Is it clear? The teaching of God's word must make your worship of God better. Or else, you have got into one chance. Sorry to say that. Are we together? So, the goal of discipleship is to make all to see alike, so that eventually, all will worship alike. So we said there's a way to see it, right? Right? There's a way to see it. So I told you, discipleship with God's word is where how to see it is offered you. You know, I can teach discipleship for a whole seminar. I think I'm graced on that. I can keep talking about discipleship. I can keep talking about it. So that shows you that in Christ's discipleship, what happens is that God is giving you his vision as your home. Amen. Say, I embrace God's vision. Say it again. Say, I embrace God's vision. Amen. That's it. God is giving you his vision as your home. Are we together? Vision would include direction, but vision has to do with purpose. His purpose for your purpose is exchanged. So, we said, God's word is that source, similar to Thursday's, that source, how I see it. So there's a way to see it. There's a way God wants you to see things. There's a way God wants you and I to see things. So we don't get, like I said, pastored from the media. I don't think that the media is so close to us. I know social media today is so close. I mean, sometimes you need you find yourself needing discipline to not go to the social media first once you wake up. The moment you wake up, you want to get to the social media first. Are we together? That will show you how much discipline you might need sometimes, but it's also to show you how subtly it has gotten into our lives. And if we are not careful, we will not realize that it's then very easy to get influenced by what is happening there. You will even know that seeds are being dropped in your heart. Seeds are in your heart. Seeds. Because communication is how seeds are sown. The Bible calls the sower the preacher of the word. So communication is how seeds are sown. Are we together? So, I said that media must not be
closer to us than the Word of God. The media, the social media, must not be closer to us than the Word of God. Say God's Word closer to me. As you go see, you're going to see that God's Word even ought to be closer to you than your neighbor. God's Word ought to be closer to you than the next person standing by you. God's Word. God's Word. So there are godly perspectives. That's what discipleship does. Communicate godly perspectives on how we ought to see things, and in the light of our study, how we ought to see one another. Hallelujah. Now, notice what I didn't say. I didn't say how we ought to see ourselves. Yes, you will see yourself, but I said how we ought to what? See what? One another. Why did I say that? Because, look at me. You need to be careful. As Christians, we need to be careful at times, or all the time actually. We need to be careful of what exactly? There's a kind of hearing that you can give to God's Word that you begin to cheat yourself. Amen. For example, James in 1 said, he that looks into the law of perfect liberty, right, and continues what? Looking. He says, him not being a what? Forgetful hearer, but a what? A doer of the work. So that shows you and I that God's intention, His Word, amen, His counsel, His Word, is primarily a work to the hearer. So, we must be careful of a kind of thinking where when God's Word is taught to me, look at this, I begin to see what others should do to me. Instead of seeing what I should do. Is it clear? Is it clear? You know, God's Word is being explained to you, and the way you are hearing it, that's why you are careful of the kind of hearing. The same way you are hearing it, the way you are hearing it as what should be done to you by others, instead of you picking up what you should do. So the Word of God is primarily the work to be carried out by the hearer. Amen? So you are careful that your mind is not playing tricks on you. Where you are being addressed, but you are seeing other people's duty towards you rather than your duty to others. Rather than what? So, God's Word, my duty to others. Put that in capital letter. Do you get it? God's Word, is primarily what? Amen. It's a work to be done, not to the hearer, but by the hearer. So I just wanted to say that. So I must watch out for that kind of deceptive hearing that always make me to take the position of an object rather than the subject of what is being taught. Amen. I said amen. So look at it. In Matthew's Gospel 22, let's delve into this morning. In verse 36, it says, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Don't forget, I said the word first and great there means what is the main message. What is the point? You know, so now he says, so what's the point in the whole conversation? What is the summary? The putting together. Hallelujah. He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Then he says, "The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." See, I love my neighbor as myself. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. So we said the document of faith, the Old Testament books, it says is built what we call the law of God. You know, I explained the law as the light of God, right? So what we call the light of God, the law of God, the light of God, the law of the Lord, the light of God, that which guides, that which leads, he says, the entire law, he says, it hangs on these two. Glory to God. He says, it hangs on these two. Amen. Love the Lord, love your what? Your neighbor. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we said that my love for the Lord is not complete. Amen. My love for the Lord is not what? Complete. Without what? Without what? My love for my neighbor. Did you see that? Matthew there. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. He says with all your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. With all your heart. Someone say with all my heart. Have you ever done something with all your heart before? With all your heart. Some of us just sleep with all our hearts. Praise God. Say, I slept with all my heart. Have you ever gotten involved in something before? Some people have never gotten in something before in their life with all their heart. Praise God. With all your heart. Have you ever done that before? I want you to think. I'll give you some 10, 20 seconds. What have you done before with all of your heart? Someone say, I married the love of my life with all my heart. Aside from that one. Aside from that one. What else have you done with all of your heart? Wholeheartedly. Praise God.
Yeah.
Have you found something? If you found something, just wave your hand. You found something in your heart that you've done before with all of your heart. All right. All of your heart. Amen. Well, but you know we sing, right? We shall sing. I think we sang it this morning, right? With all my heart. And I was watching some of us. Like, you are lying. That is not your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. With all my heart. Someone say, with all my heart. Now, does your heart include, if you're doing something with all your heart, will it involve your resources? Will it take your time? Will it take your attention? Oh, sure, attention. Right? Your mind is going to be there. Your mind is going to be there. Because it has filled your heart. Praise God. Now, another word for all of your hearts is what? Passion. You're passionate about it. Passionate about it. I love to love the church with all my heart. Yeah. That means you're tired. And you say, oh, okay. All right, let's go again. Praise God. And sometimes people come and say, sir, I want to see you. And I feel like running away. I just remember in my heart to say, you know what you signed up for, right? Like someone is standing beside me and saying, yeah, sit down here. All of your heart. Praise God. Sometimes you pray with all of your word, all of your heart. Have you ever prayed with all of your heart? That is, you pray as though the next minute depends on it. You pray. You know, when you are praying with all of your heart, you are not minding the person by you. Hannah must have prayed with all of her heart. Because, hey, I've got to, I can't come back here. I can't come to the next camp meeting without a child. I wish some of us in camp meetings would pray like that and would come to the next one with disciples. But you don't know that's a lesson in the text. The best children for the Lord. Children for the Lord. You pray with all of your heart. Keep in apostolic tradition. Oh God. Oh God. Ah, I must not be here alone. I will not be barren. Are we together? I know. I will not be barren. I have just one disciple. I need Isel. Isel is many disciples. Are we together? Are we together? I need a cell. Oh God. I need a cell. I need a cell. I need a cell. And then you're praying. Oh God. Oh God. Then you're praying. Oh God. You say, oh God. So now you even lose words. You're praying in tongues. Tongues are just, you don't know where you switch to. No language. You go, oh God. And then you're praying, oh God. And there's someone that is by you saying, ah, what's happening? They don't know that what you are doing is coming from your what? Your heart. Because when something comes from your heart, there is no control. There's no control. Control, okay. It's coming from your heart. You have opened the gates. It's pouring out. As I said, some of us don't know how to do or what it means to do something with all your heart. There is, you are pouring, you pour out supplications. Look at Jesus. The Bible said he was praying and his sweat was as thick blood. At that moment, he was praying with all of his heart. He says with a loud cry. That's not something you do with composure. 100% steam. No! Hey! Zero steam. Are we together? You, with all of your heart. Glory to God. He says you love the Lord with it. First of all, it means it is possible. Second of all, if that is God's instruction, it means you were created for it. You were created for it. I was created for loving God. Hallelujah. I was created to love you. And
like this song by Dr. Paul Enenche. He says, "Oh Lord, I hold you in very high esteem." You know the song? "I lay down my heart to express my love to you." I think I shared the song to the church sometimes. I remember like that. "Oh Lord, I hold you in very high esteem. Oh God, I lay down my heart to express my love to you." The song says, "Oh Lord, I hold you in very high esteem." Hey! It means there is nothing in this world that is as important as you. God wants to be loved that way. Some of us wants to be loved that way. How much more God? God wants to be loved that way. He says, "Oh Lord, I hold you in very high esteem." I actually feel that at that point, that is like the greatest point of, I mean, your heart has gotten to the greatest point of his expression. And then you cry out, "Oh God, hallelujah, I hold you in very high esteem. I hold you in esteem. Hallelujah. I hold you in very high esteem. Nothing competes with you. Nothing. Nothing competes with the Lord." I don't know if that's the same with you, but I'm talking about myself. Nothing competes with you. Nothing. When it comes to the Lord, there is no competition. If I find out that this thing wants to, I drop it. There's no competition. No competition for you. He gave you the breath. He says he breathed into his nostrils. That vibrancy, he says, is his own. Hallelujah. He wants to be in the Friday morning Bible seminars. He says that vibrancy, he says, this vibrancy, he says, a man became a living soul. That means that, you know, what gives expression to this liver and organ and the vocal cords, and what makes the heart to be able to do cuckoo, cuckoo, and to pump blood to the brain? What makes the eyes to be able to see? What is responsible for the teeth being able to chew and the tongue having saliva? What makes it possible for me to swallow food? He says that breath, he says he put it there. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. A man became what? Genesis 2:7. So there's no one like you. Hallelujah. Are we right when we say to the Lord, "There's no one like you"? Are we right? You know that you are not saying it because you want to get him to do something. Some of us, it is just a strategy. It's a strategy. So our praises and our worship is actually psyching God. That's it. You're psyching him. "Hey, Baba, hey, Baba." That's what you're doing. But when you are really giving thanks, it is not because of what he will do. It is because of who he is and what he has done. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Now, that also stirs faith in your heart for what he will do. Because you cannot be conscious of what he has done, fully conscious, and struggle with believing in what he will do. That's why a life of faith is rooted in thanksgiving. It's not a strategy. Praise God forevermore. So he says to love the Lord your God. He then says, the second is like unto it, verse 39. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? As yourself. Glory to God. Now, did you know that the next thing you are told to do, look at me, the next thing that you are told to do after loving God is loving yourself. He now says you will love, or you are allowed to do rather, that you are allowed to do.
after loving God is to love yourself. He now says that you are instructed of God to love your neighbor as what? Yourself. As yourself. Praise God forevermore. So that's what did we say from the text? We said, loving the Lord, amen, is therefore not enough. It's not enough to love the Lord. We have to be in good relationship with other people. Praise the Lord. My love for the Lord. Say, oh, I love God. I love the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart. Then he says, if you love God, there's something that is interrelated to that, and it is your love for other people. Hallelujah. So we said last week that your relationship with God is therefore not private, as some people think. Some people say, oh, my personal relationship with God. Are you really sure there's something called personal relationship with God? Because your relationship with God is not exclusive of other people. It must involve other people. Your relationship with God. My love for the Lord is seen in how I treat and I handle my relationships and associations and friendships. They are all the same thing. You know, there are different kind of relationships. There is family to sibling relationship. Are we together? Are we together? Matana patana relationships. There is marital relationships. There's also commercial relationships. People we know based on business colleagues. There are also people in our neighborhood. We also have friendships around. Some of us have people that have been our friends for a very long time. There are diverse kinds of relationships. And we ought to see it God's way. Hallelujah. Quickly, before I move further, in Genesis text which we saw, let's look at it again. Genesis 1. It says in 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image, and he says, in the image of God created him, male and female created them. Hallelujah. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Hallelujah. Now this is Genesis, amen? And Genesis is restorative. Genesis is standard. Anytime Jesus had to answer questions, many times, he pointed people to Genesis. He pointed them to Genesis because the book of Genesis will show you the origin or the intention or the plan. So it's a book of the plan. That's why it's called Genesis, the beginning, the book of God's plan. So I will see how it ought to be in Genesis. Hallelujah. And then we took a couple of lessons already from Genesis by the way of mention. It says, let us make man in our image. God described as though he is in relationship with another. As though himself is in relationship with another. Let us. Let us. Our. Let us.
We'll leave that for camp meeting. Amen. He says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Let them have. Let us make man in our image. Which shows you that what God called his image is not a human being, but humanity. Let us make man in our image. Let them have dominion. So he's not saying let us make human beings in our image. Because you're going to have to start answering questions on what is that image. A lot of people have said different things on what they feel is the image. But that's exactly not it. Let them have dominion. Are we together? Over the fish of the sea. Then in 27, and God created what? Man in his what? Own image. Now you would think he's talking about a human being, a particular human being. But if you read on, it says, in the image of God created he what? Him, right? Male and what? Female created in them. So the focus is on humanity. Let us make man in our image should therefore be seen as let us make humanity in our image. Now look at 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be what? Fruitful. So don't forget we said that the person or what God blessed, I take the word person back, what God blessed is not a person, but a people. Now I'm not saying that God doesn't bless individuals. We're looking at God's counsel from the beginning. That what God pronounced his blessing upon is a people. Male and female created them. And God blessed them and said, so the blessing is in the words that he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So we said, be fruitful there is God's instruction to humanity, a people. God addresses a people. He says, be fruitful and multiply. He addresses a people. He says, multiply. Then he says, replenish the earth. Are we together? And the word replenish, now he says, to subdue it. To subdue it. And I told us last session that if God says to subdue, you are not told to subdue if there are no contrary forces. By saying to subdue, it means to take dominion. Are we together? That means there are things to exercise dominion over. In other words, if you are careless, there are things that will move you out of position. So it says to subdue. To subdue means there are forces on ground. There are influences on ground to dominate. And that instruction to subdue was also given to a people. And I said, we can take a clue from there to see that God expects man to function in his communities. He blessed them saying, be fruitful. The fruitfulness of man will be through its communities. What does that imply? It means God wants us to function with one another. God did not create man to function in isolation. Man will not thrive in isolation. If he says be fruitful, man will not be fruitful in isolation. Are we together? Are we together? Can I get a response to this? Man will not be what? Fruitful in isolation. Nature already teaches us that by showing us how, look at this. I told us last week, I said, do you not see God? Now, we say, let us make man in our image. What ought to be perfect? We said, man, in the creation of man, you will see an art. Man itself is an art of wisdom. The way man was created. I mean, you look at your eyes. The art of wisdom is an art of wisdom. There's wisdom at work. The heart. Imagine your eyes were on your palms. Have you imagined that? How will you see? No, can someone demonstrate that we're going to be seeing? Your eyes in your palms. How will you run? Olympics. Well, man will devise another way. But imagine it. So, it shows intelligence. Amen. Imagine your ears was under your armpit. And then that you need to hear yours. Someone is talking, I didn't hear you. So, we have to devise how will we wear clothes. There are clothes we have to, you know, because we must hear one another. So, you will see, it's very funny, but you see wisdom in the design. You see wisdom in the design. Are we together? So, as perfect as the design looks, I mean, the heart is positioned very close to the lungs, that ensures that the waste product gas does not stress to get into the lungs, and then the lungs is attached to the nose. Everything is just perfectly in its place. Are we together? You see the ears linked with the throat, the nose. You see wisdom in the art of creation. Creation itself is an art. It's a work of a designer. A master designer. So, and as perfect as that, we now also saw that in that same perfection, God made man insufficient in itself. So man is not sufficient. God did not create man. And I told us that the Genesis 1:26 of man not being sufficient. Are we together? In fact, if you read in chapter 2 quickly, look at chapter 2. Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, it says in verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be what? Alone. And I will make what? An help meet for man. Are we together? He didn't say, I will make an help meet for man. It's the way you are reading it. I will make an help meet for him. Are we together? Someone who is fitting for him. Now, I know you have used a law for marriage. I won't talk about that. We'll come back into that later on. Amen? But you see, it is, it is not good that man should be what? Alone. I know that this text was not, or this statement was not because man had sinned. It was right before man sinned to show us that the insufficiency in man, amen, the insufficiency in our individuality is not because of sin. And I told us, if it is not because of sin, then the new birth will not correct it. If it is not because of sin, then salvation will not correct it.
it is not because of sin, shows you it is as planned. So it is in God's plan that individuals will not be sufficient. We will need one another in order to be what? Sufficient. Did you get it? If he says be fruitful, if he says multiply, man will not multiply in isolation. Replenish the earth, he will not do it in isolation. Subdue it, he will not do it in isolation. So it is important that I recognize the place of relationships. And God wants me to see it his way. Is it clear, church? I told you that God could have put both the sperm and the egg in an individual. But look at how he does it. He puts what I need to reproduce naturally in another. And what that another needs, he put it in what? In another. So that two people will have to come into a godly and a healthy relationship to even procreate naturally. And that's nature teaching you God's design on the earth. That God planned naturally and spiritually that we will function in associations. So we can say that the perfection of humanity, or the perfection in humanity, will be discovered what? Through what? Associations. We therefore cannot afford to joke about associations. We can't afford to joke about relationships. And we can't afford for the world to start lecturing and teaching us regarding relationships. I told you Miles Monroe would say that where purpose is unknown, abuse is what? Inevitable. So there's a need for us to look at relationships God's way. I told you, the insufficiency is not because of sin. It is because that is his plan. And that insufficiency will now be taken away by healthy interactions. So, look at the person beside you and say, I need you. Are we together? Don't say, you need me. Don't say that. I told you to be careful of that kind of what? Listening. When I'm telling you to tell somebody, I need you, and you just got to say, you need me. Don't say that. The person has already told you he needs you. Look at another person by you. Tell the fellow, I need you. Now look at two people at the same, well, yeah, I say that. Just look at two people and say, we need each other. I'll read it here. Thank you. Now that is God's word. That's God's word. I'll say one or two more things, then we'll get into our study as on Sunday. Is it clear? Alright. Your salvation, look at this. Someone preached to you. That's just a message. Someone preached to you. If salvation is the greatest thing that has happened to you upon being born, if being born again is the greatest thing that has happened to you since you found yourself on the earth, the gospel got to you through somebody. That is God using relationships. Are we together? So, I will be safe to say that I am made for relationships.
I've decided that our session will be very practical, and so I won't go by my teaching in some ways, right? Just permit me.
I am made for what? Relationships. I am made for what?
Relationships.
God created me to be in relationship with other people.
Put the word healthy there. And put the word godly there. Godly and healthy.
He made me, are we together? To function by association. So it is deception to think otherwise. He made you and I to function. That means, naturally, the way God created us is that we are going to be deficient by isolation. And that's how He created man. You can recreate yourself, but that's how God created man. Man is created to be deficient by isolation, but to be sufficient by what? Association. The perfection in humanity, are you listening to me? The perfection in humanity will be discovered through healthy associations. Because, you see, even when we get into that, as we interact with one another, you will observe that there are some things you have, or there are some things in you that even you cannot see. It takes other people to see whether good or bad. And that's how God created man. That the perfection in us, in humanity, and His gift in us individually will reach its perfection through associations. Are we together? Are we together? Associations. In Matthew 26, in verse 36, Matthew 26 and 36, he says, Matthew 26, are we there? He says, then cometh Jesus with them unto Salem, this is your guest, man, and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go to pray. They took him with Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and heavy. They said unto them, my soul is indeed sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And when he went a little further, fell on his feet and prayed. He says, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done, but it's thy will. And he cometh unto his disciples and find them sleeping, and said, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? So, Jesus needed relationships. Now, that is God. Okay? Okay? That's God. I'll give you some case studies this morning, and that's what we'll do today. We said the perfection in humanity is found in what? To community.
Are we together?
So it is natural that God in his work on the earth will function through human relationships.
Satan also uses relationships, definitely. Put that somewhere. Satan also uses relationships.
And the reason is not far-fetched. There is no one that can affect man like man. And that's the way God created man.
Are we together?
That's the way God what? Created man. That man's greatest influence.
Now let me say it differently.
Man's greatest vulnerability will be another man.
Put us somewhere.
In the four Gospels, we see God become man, and God become man.
Amen.
And he needed to do what man does, because he had become man. God became man, and he needed to eat. Right? I mean, he would eat to nourish his body. Yes or no? Because, now, does God eat? No. But something had changed the moment he became man. Are we together? So he now has to do what man does. So he became man, he needed to sleep. Are we together? Are we together? I mean, definitely, there are facts, they don't contradict each other. Someone say does God sleep? Then he say, no, God does not sleep. And I say, but Jesus slept. I say, Jesus, God, are you okay? It doesn't contradict. God became man. It's a very simple thing. Are we together? So he became man. He now had to do what man does. So he needed to eat. Right? He needed to sleep. Do you think Jesus have used toilets? Oh, you think we all go to hell if we say yes or no? Or you not go to hell? Did he just use toilet? Was he tired? Huh? Wait, do you think Jesus might have breathed out CO2? Did he need oxygen? Huh? So he did breathe out CO2. Huh? Did he just have sweated? Yen.
Is it possible that you're yen? Now when you yen and you breathe out and you sweat, what are you pushing out? Waste. Okay, so did he put your waste? Answer me. So he had to do what man does. He had to move about to get to places. God doesn't have to move to reach places. But because he became man, he now also needed to be conveyed. The same way man, we have to change location to be at places. Are we together? To show you what man is and how man is. Jesus also then had to, he needed food, right? Do you think he needed money? Jesus needed money? Yes.
as a man. So God became man, and he needed to eat, he needed to sleep so he could catch strength to work further. There were times when he was hungry and they went to buy him food. John, are we together? 4. So Jesus also needed relationships as a man. God became man, and functioning as a man, he needed relationships. It shows you man requires relationships. It's basic. He needed people. He needed people to feed him. Right? Jesus needed the womb of a woman. I think. He needed it. He needed people to parent him, because he had become a man. Parenting. Did he need people to teach him? So we observe him in the temple. In Luke 2, before the teachers of the law, he was asking questions. He was learning. Are we together? He needed to learn. Just as you and I, he needed relationships. Brothers, friends, he needed companions. We just read in Matthew 26, "Can you not wait with me for 1 hour?" Now, before then, he says, "My soul is sorrowful. My soul is sorrowful." What does that mean? Today is like saying, guys. Imagine Jesus today looks at two of his disciples and he says, Guys, I'm scared. That's exactly what you read. Because God had taken the form of what? Of man. That was why when they nailed him, it entered. Because what he put on is this clothing, this flesh. And when he entered, he didn't say, "Oh, scrub up a calendar here. Oh, glory, glory. name him. Give him." And then he said, he didn't even know how to name. Put it here. He didn't say that. He didn't say, wait, guys. You are not getting. Bring me down. Let me show you how to kill me. I'm not out. Is it because I have 2 eyes and 2 legs? Let me show you how to kill me. You see that nail? Put it here. At a point, he carried the cross. He fell down. The Arimathea had to come and help him. To show you his humanity. So, in humanity, we need relationships. Are we together? He needed parenting. He needed companions. People he could confide in. People he could confide in. Relationships. Are we together? John the Baptist, that's one, okay? 2, case studies. John the Baptist announced Jesus to Israel. Right? Now, notice something about John the Baptist. In Malachi chapter 3, John the Baptist, Malachi 3. Matthew 3. In Matthew chapter 3, In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the world, in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his words, his paths." Okay, so he says, this is he that was spoken by what? Isaiah, right? Right? So we see it in Isaiah, precisely Isaiah 40. But now look at Malachi 3, which I said should open to also, verse 1. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, seeth the Lord of hosts." Notice it says, the Lord whom you seek will come, right? And he now says, I send my messenger before my face, which will prepare the way before me. So you look at Matthew 3, which you read. He says, John the Baptist is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He says, make straight what? Are we together? Now wait. Look at the way you have read this text. Look at how you should read it. In Malachi 3 verse 3, when he says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, that is whose responsibility? The audience of John or John the Baptist? Look into your Bible. The audience of John or John the Baptist? Whose responsibility is that text? Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Is that the audience of John or John the Baptist's work? Read the text again, verse 3. Once you go, he says, "For this it was spoken to her by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the what? In the wilderness." So what did Isaiah say? Isaiah said, this is the voice of the one crying in the what? In the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord is not the cry. Prepare ye the way of the Lord is the responsibility. Is that understood? Is that understood? Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his words pass straight. That is the work of John the Baptist. To prepare the way of the Lord, to make his path straight. Now, if you look at verse 5, they went out to Jerusalem and all Judea and all round about the region, about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who had warned you, he says, to flee from the world to come, bring forth the fruits which were repentance." Now, he now says in 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost and with fire." Are we together? Now, look at John quickly. John 1. This is the record, verse 19, of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What hearest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of what? Of the Lord." Are we together? "As heard the prophet was Isaiah." Are we together? Then he says, And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, nor that prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes laces I'm not worthy to unloose. This is what done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. And the next day John saw Jesus coming. You see that? And said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me is come a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. I sent him made manifest to Israel. He said, that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. So God did not send people to baptize with water. God sent John to baptize with water so that Jesus will be known. The moment he made Jesus known, the baptism of water had fulfilled its course and ought to stop. Are we together? The baptism of Jesus, he says, is he will baptize with the Spirit. Now he says, look at this, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bear record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I bore record, that this is the Son of God. Are we together? 36. Looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Look at the role that John the Baptist will play. If you had followed the Luke's account and Matthew's account still, you would discover that John the Baptist was actually Jesus' cousin. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. He was called to announce Jesus to Israel. Now look at something. John the Baptist was called of God for one function. One. He was a prominent prophet in Israel. He had the voice. He had the ministry. He had the influence. He had the influence. So that the Pharisees came to him. The Pharisees, you can call them the presidents, the leaders of Israel, of the religious leaders of Israel. They came to John the Baptist, are we together, to be baptized. They didn't come to John the Baptist to minister alongside with him. The religious leaders of the day, the entire leadership of Khan, something like that, came to him to be baptized. It shows you how prominent his influence was, John the Baptist. And he was called for one thing. And what he was called for was to show Jesus to Israel, so that Jesus can in turn fulfill his ministry. Are we together? To show Jesus to Israel, so that Jesus can fulfill what? His ministry. So that Jesus can carry out his mission in Israel. Look at how prominent he was. In fact, look at what Jesus did later on in Matthew 21, quickly. In verse 23, and when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. So Jesus was there teaching in the temple. And the chief priests, the elders of the people, came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave you this authority? In other words, let me ask it in 2025, who ordained you? That was the question. Who ordained you? Who told you to start a church? Who ordained you? Who ordained you? And these were the elders, and they were questioning Jesus' authority. Look at what Jesus does in 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, when was it? Or whence was it? From heaven or of men? Look at the next statement. And the reason which themselves saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not believe him? Are we together? If we say of men, if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a what? As a prophet. Are you looking into the text? In other words, they are saying that of men is not an answer. You can't say of men. Because if we say that John was baptizing sent of men, no, the people are not going to take it lightly with us. Everybody believed that he was the prophet of God and he was sent of God. So he now said, if we agree and say that John's baptism was of God, then Jesus will accuse us and ask us, why then don't we believe in Jesus? Because John's baptism was to point Jesus to them. Did you see that? Did you see that? So they now answer Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus also said what? Me too, I will not tell. Amen. Amen. Jesus looked, he looked intelligent actually. Hallelujah. That's an intelligent guy. I'm sure he would play chess in 2025. So look at this. John the Baptist was that prominent. Jesus, we're looking at case studies, carried out his ministry on the strength of John's recommendation. Jesus, he carried out his assignment on the strength of his recommendation. Amen. It means that the God-ordained platform for Jesus to carry out his ministry was John's platform, John's ministry. Are we together? The God-ordained platform. I mean the whole Jesus. Yeah. The whole Jesus. And the God-ordained platform for him to carry out his ministry is John's ministry. Who is John again? Who is John again? His cousin. John is his cousin. John is his cousin. And God has called John to show Jesus to Israel so that Jesus can fulfill his ministry. Now look at this. Imagine, just imagine that there had been a conflict between Jesus and John. As conflict arises amongst us today, imagine there had been a conflict. Maybe, who knows what reason there might be to quarrel. Are we together? A want of resource, competition for something or the other. Imagine there had been conflict between Jesus and John. Definitely, without doubt, that would affect how Jesus fulfilled his mission. Obviously, it's also going to affect how John fulfills his what? His ministry. Because John's ministry was to make Jesus what? No. But Jesus needed the what? The platform. For him to be accepted by who? Israel. Are we together, church?
Are we together? So, imagine there had been conflict. And maybe John had told his disciples, don't let that guy cross Jordan. Or Jesus also say, we'll find somewhere else. We'll find somewhere else. Sometimes, what ruins God's plan is our pride. We are not going to study, no. Okay? We're going to study into it. We're going to spend time in Genesis. So sometimes, what ruins God's plan is what? Pride. I told you a while ago, I said there's a peculiarity of relationship that sometimes God does not have another one for you. And the one he has for you, he needs you to be smart to handle it well. There's a peculiarity. There are peculiarities in relationships. And that's why everyone in your life are not and cannot be the same. There are peculiarities of associations such that that particular one, who God does not have another for you. And you will have to be smart. He will have to rely on your proper handling. God will have to rely on your proper handling of that relationship. Are we together? Now, did Jesus need the relationship? Definitely. But notice that it's not only Jesus that needed a relationship. John did, but hear this, you and I needed a relationship. You and I today needed that what? Relationship. It shows you also many times that in our relationships, and let me say this now, I plan to say it much later, but I'll say it now. Look at this. A vital characteristic of God's plan is this. It is always bigger than you. It's an intrinsic characteristic of God's plan. God's plan always comes off bigger than you. The plan is bigger than an individual. He has only counted you. Are we together? Useful, worthy to be a part of that plan. And that needs to go into the way we see relationships. The way we see relationships. The way we handle relationships. If it is God's plan. So that means, if God has put somebody around you, the way you handle that relationship, are we together? There are many others who will need it. Many others need your proper handling of relationships with people God put around you. Now, in life, there are those you found for yourself, but there are those God gave to you. For the ones that it is God that planted them. That's why, as Christians, your eyes of your heart ought to be open. You must discern people. You know, in life we usually say, nobody's indispensable, right? There are people that are indispensable. There are certain people. Oftentimes you observe that there is no way you could have told the story of the success and the brilliance you have without mentioning them. If you come to tell the story in four different perspectives,
5 different perspectives. Maybe because of your audience. Sometimes your audience determines how you go about reporting something. But no matter your audience, if you go in telling that story, there are certain people that you cannot, you can't say the story without mentioning them. That person is pivotal. How do we teach faith today without Abraham? There is no other, I mean, how? How do you want to teach faith? The writer of Hebrew himself, the Hebrews 11 text, where he taught faith and taught all the men of faith, go and look at how many verses he dedicated to Abraham. How many verses? The discussion of Abraham took almost a whole chapter in Galatians. Almost a whole chapter. In Romans, almost another whole chapter. An individual. So there are people that are not what? That are not what? Dispensable. Note that. So, in our handling of relationships, before we go into our study, in our handling of relationships, God wants you to know that His plan is bigger than you. And there are others that will need the fruit of relationships when they are properly handled and are not even allowed at that time when you are handling the relationships. They are not around. There are lives that are going to be blessed. Did you know that? Look at this. Do you know that Paul and Barnabas, the conflict did not make us to see what was possible for God to do through them?
With supernatural relationships.
That conflict had denied us insights into what God can do
through supernatural relationships. I think I'll talk about that.
Very sure. Are we together?
Are we together?
So, there are relationships that God will need you and I to keep. There are relationships that God will need you and I to protect. Someone say protect. Not just for the sake of you and I, but because God's plan and many other lives depend on it. Are we together? So just like John the Baptist and Jesus, I can say that relationships are platforms. Relationships functions as platforms for fulfilling, you know, what today we call divine destiny. Relationships. And we must know how to handle them. You can't be careless or casual. There are relationships to discourage. There are relationships to encourage. There are some other relationships to protect. Amen?
Amen? I've taught us severally how that God works through relationships. Right? God works through men. God works through associations. The things that He does on earth are done through people. He works through men. Amen. If God works through men, if God walks through men, look at me. you need to realize that the one God will use is just like you, imperfect. Obviously, God has never used a perfect person before, right? Because he has never found one. I must bear in mind that man is imperfect. This is not an excuse to misbehave, but it is the truth. And God works through associations. My associations with men will therefore have to, I will have to have the godly wisdom to interact with people in spite and despite imperfections. Are we together? Okay? That means that as I interact with people, I can be let down. Being let down implies disappointment. I can be disappointed, or I can feel let down. Sometimes the feeling that I was let down is not true, amen, but, or it's not intended, but I can feel let down by people. Like John the Baptist, at another point, felt let down by Jesus. By the time you look at Matthew 11, he now sends people to Jesus. In Matthew 11, he now sends them to question him if he was the one sent of God. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Relationships. Are we there? It is, look at verse 3. And he said unto him, are you one? Are you he that should come? Or do we look forward? And all. Wow. Wow. Are you the leadership? Now, by Matthew 3, what was he doing all over Israel? By Matthew 3, what was he doing all over Israel? Pronouncing that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Lamb of God. So months after, obviously, John the Baptist got into political issues and got into trouble. He's there talking about Herod's marriage with his brother's wife. And then he got into trouble. He didn't even know that the woman liked it. The woman wanted it. And he was like, why would you do this and do this and this and this? And this? He didn't know. It was not the same woman that asked for his head. Are we together? But definitely, John the Baptist must have expected that when he got into prison, Jesus would, you know, maybe Jesus would talk to some folks in power to get him out. I mean, you are a prominent voice in the whole nation, and you are my cousin, and you are that I'm in prison. You have to use your contacts. Are we together? But Jesus, in his wisdom, well, maybe Jesus challenge a few folks up. I don't know. But whatever happened there showed that Judas, John the Baptist, felt let down by Jesus, and he got offended. So in relationships, a very vital thing, you know, that happens is that many times we feel let down by people.
And oftentimes, the degree at which it's hot will be dependent on how close the fellow is. There are things strangers do to you sometimes, and then you feel, I could just pass. And someone who is close does that, and then he's like, no. I won't pass. I won't pass over it. I'm going to deal with it. Let us down. We felt let down. Maybe Jesus prayed about it. Maybe he expected that Jesus would lead a protest. Are we together? So, look at it. Humans let each other down. And I'm not saying that. It's not a statement to inspire. Did you get it? You have a human now. You're an idiot. Don't say that. That's being an idiot. But you, as a believer, are we together? Who has insights about associations, God's plan regarding relationships, you ought to know that a major thing to watch out for and to develop godly wisdom in handling will be the place of what? Disappointments and offenses. In fact, that's the word offenses. Are we together? Because usually disappointment precedes offenses. Anytime you observe an offense, there's a disappointment around it. It's just what it is. Disappointment precedes offenses. And, you know, that means if I feel offended, you check around. What's the disappointment? And very importantly, you are checking out for disappointments. You check out for assumptions. Sometimes we assume relationships. Sometimes. I just assume I'm close to this person. Are we together? You assume relationships. You assume associations. And when I assume relationships and associations, I begin to feel, are we together? Offended or disappointed when things are not done the way I expect. Now, in checking for assumptions, amen, I also need to check up for personal failures. I'm just giving you common sense. Personal failures. Personal failures would be areas where I had failed what ought to be, you know, a mutual responsibility. But you see, anytime you see offenses around, it's because of a failed expectation. A lot of Christians, in fact, including God, a lot of Christians even get offended at God because they feel let down by some expectations. Some things God never promised. And you've been praying for days and the answer doesn't come. And then you just get angry. But God didn't promise you that in His word. Are we together? God didn't promise that in His word. So, in checking for offenses, I must learn to check for disappointment. Find out, what am I disappointed at? It's just being logical. In checking for disappointment, check out for assumptions. Are there any? In checking for assumptions, check out for failures on your path. Are we together? So John definitely felt let down by Jesus. And sometimes in our interactions also, we have expectations. We have expectations from our friends. We have expectations from business colleagues. We have expectations from family. We have expectations from colleagues at work. Some say, I didn't expect this from you. Yeah, because we have expectations.
What is human associations without expectation? This morning, I expected the saints of God to be here. That's expectation. This morning, people expected, I'll be here, I'll be together. The church expects, I'll be here to teach. That's expectation. We expected to pray. So expectations are normal. Are we together, church? We have expectations from spouses. Who else are around us? Employers. Are we together? People in our neighborhood, our friends, our co-workers, our siblings. We have expectations. Like I said, we want to use from God also. Amen. The disciples had expectations from Jesus. For example, in Acts 1, the Acts 1 text, when they asked him, he says, will you at this time what? Restore to Jerusalem the kingdom. It was an expectation. And Jesus said, no. They were disappointed. They were disappointed. The people were disappointed that, we thought the Messiah was going to come and restore us, restore the government. Yes, they were expecting the Messiah, but the Messiah they were expecting was one that would restore the political strength to Israel. And Jesus did not fit into that. They were disappointed. The disciples were disappointed. That's why when, you know, in the same text, Matthew 16, when Peter said, that the Son of God, the next text, he began to rebuke Jesus. Because Jesus took him by the side and began to talk to him about his death. He said, Dike, no. And then he began to rebuke Jesus. Because he had an expectation. How would you die when you are the one to, I don't know, I'll be the vice president. I thought I'd be the deputy president or deputy governor. Amen. They're disappointed. And so, offenses can rise in the midst of disappointment. Are we together, church? Are we together? Did you know that, you know, one of the works of the flesh that actually killed Jesus was offenses from disappointment? How's it? So, the people said, give us Barabbas. Right? You know, the was it Felix came? Was it Felix now? Yeah. Or was Agrippa or something? He came around and then he was asking them, which one do you want? Do you want Jesus or you want Barabbas? And the people said, it's Barabbas you wanted. Are we together? And the reason was because they felt that, this guy will fall our hand. The people were expecting an overthrowing of the Roman government. And they knew Barabbas could give that to them. So they offended them. Barabbas had led a revolt before. The reason why he was in prison was because he led a revolt and people died in the revolt. So Barabbas was an activist. That's why it was the chief priests and the elders that moved the hearts of the people and said, tell him, the king, that it is Barabbas you want. It was the religious leaders that told him. It was religious leaders that told them to ask, are we together? For Barabbas. Because they felt, this guy, he will not give us what we wanted. Amen? So many times, you will have expectations. We must know how to manage the associations. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So, Jesus definitely was not offended at John. When John sent that message out, he sent his disciples, go and ask him. Now obviously, if I always said, if it's me. But I mean Jesus could have taken an offense. He would have taken offense. How would John the Baptist come and say, are you the one? Look at the way he even phrased the question. Are you the one we should expect? Are you, or another? Are you still useful? Are we together? But I think Jesus handled that well. Amen. Look at what Jesus did. In Matthew 11 there, what did he do? He says, go, show. He says, go and show John again the things which you do see and hear. The blind receive their sight, lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. So he points them to the workings of the gift of God in his ministry.
In other words, that is what John's attention should be on. See, if I learn to keep my sight on the gifts of God in people, I will not likely get into offense. Now, what does that tell you and I? It shows that, look at me, in dealing with offense, dealing with disappointment, not getting into offense, I must look at everybody. Now, for John the Baptist, what did Jesus do? He simply put his attention, right, on the workings of the gift of God. Apparently, when he says the blind receive what? The sight. The miracles he pointed into were the miracles that proved the deity of Jesus. Those are the miracles. So he points John the Baptist to the workings of the gift of God. There's a lesson there for you and I. It means you will set your attention on the good in the people. Or, let me put it this way, why God brought instead a relationship. Are we together? I'm going to set my attention on the what? The what? I'm going to set my attention on what is in need for me. Are we together? Are we together? I'll set my attention on what? What is in need for me? What is in? It could be a business colleague. What is in it? What is in it? A work colleague. Because that way, I would have helped myself to do what is necessary to guard and keep the association. I'll talk about more practical things as we go on. But in dealing with disappointments, because there's a way you can deal with disappointment against offenses, you can also deal with it by taking a clue from what Jesus did. He says, go and tell him. For some reason, I feel, why should that be the answer? Someone said, I'm disappointed at you. You now said the name work. How? Are you the one who should come? The Messiah. He now points him to what his work is. He points him to the working of a gift. So, the same thing in natural relationships. Sometimes it's parental. Look at this. You look at that sibling. Look at that sibling. And then you choose to see what is in it. You look at that sibling. Sometimes even it could be parental. Are we together? You look at that parent and then see what is in it. What that relationship is a vehicle or a container of a gift or a blessing of God. What is the blessing? And then you focus on that. Are we together? Are we together? So he pointed John to the gift of God at work in his ministry. He now didn't stop there. He now went further and spoke about John. He now spoke about John. What did he say? He says, as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out in the wilderness, a reed shaking with wind? And what went you out for sea? A man clothed with suffering men. Behold, they that wear suffering men are in kings' houses. But what went he out for to see? A prophet? Yeah, and I say, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Did you see that? It's John's work. We shall prepare the way. It's John's work. So, he now began to talk about it. He says, in verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, they have known reason a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding that, this is the kingdom of heaven, it is greater than he. He says, John the Baptist. So he began to speak well of him. He spoke well of him.
Definitely that's love work.
Yep.
So he calls him a greater prophet. He didn't respond to the offense with dishonor. Note that. Because he knew he needed to keep the relationship. So Jesus was intelligent. Supernaturally, he had wisdom to handle relationships. If Jesus used wisdom in handling relationships, you will need wisdom in handling relationships. If Jesus, being God, needed wisdom in handling relationships, then you will handle relationships for you and I will also require wisdom. Are we together? Are we together? So Jesus handled that relationship, he kept it so much that in his resurrection, all the apostles could not now preach the ministry of Jesus without mentioning John the Baptist. Again, if he had gotten offended and he had retaliated, he would not be able to tell, they would not be able to preach his ministry without mentioning John the Baptist. That would be a setback. Are we together? Are we together? Because John the Baptist was a major pivot in receiving Jesus' ministry in Israel. Major. So, you have to keep the relationship. You have to handle it with wisdom. He didn't do anything that will put John's ministry in disrepute. Despite the fact that John had brought an offense, or John was offended, whatever he said or did, he didn't respond back in a similar manner. Are we together? So we'll take a lesson from there. We'll study on as we go on. We'll take a lesson from there. See that I have a duty to keep relationships. One. Two, I have a duty to guard and protect godly relationships. I have a duty to keep relationships. And I have a duty to guard and protect what? Godly relationships. Are we together? In Genesis 1:26, which you saw, we'll take a lesson from there later. I'll mention it, just giving us a forward. That I'm just a piece of a whole when it comes to God's plan. I'm just a piece in a whole of a whole. Amen? I told us earlier that God's plan is what? Bigger. Isn't it? That also shows you and I, look at this, that as God, we're going to see that there is something that is bigger than you. And that thing is us, the community. There's something that is bigger than I. And that thing is what? Us. I told you much of the word you in the epistles, referring to a people. Isn't it? And not an individual. God walks through us. God uses us, the people, for his work. He uses the us rather than the I. God uses the us rather than the I. The outpouring of God's Spirit, what we call the Spirit upon, the outpouring of God's Spirit on the I will always be for the us. And many times, God will reach out and minister the things of the Spirit to the eye. Through what? The us. I've said that to us 1,000 times in our church. So we are building on all of those things we've said over the years, and we are teaching, we're looking at it in a study. I've told you that God has no one he works with in isolation. He doesn't. Read the Bible if you like, read it cover to cover. You will not find anybody. You are not going to find it. You will not find anybody that God uses in isolation. It shows you that whatsoever seeks to isolate me is an enemy of God. Isolation. Even naturally. Notice that the issue God had in Genesis 11 about the Tower of Babel was not the gathering. It was what they were gathered onto. It wasn't the gathering. When they came together, it was be the temple that was reaching to the heavens. No, it wasn't the gathering. It wasn't the gathering God had issues with. God has no issues with gatherings. He created man to function in gatherings. In association. Now, that gathering is not just, I see your face, you see my face. I'm talking about a communal setting where there's commitment. A communal setting. God created man to have a corporate commitment with one another. Amen. A corporate commitment with one another. So you observe that in the Genesis 11 text, God was not rebuking gathering, the art of gathering. He was coming against a gathering contrary to his lands. What they built the gathering upon is what he refuted. And God literally even said in that text that whatsoever man had made up in mind in that community to do, say they will do it. They will do it. So sometimes what we need is a communal gathering, a community. You will function. Man will find the gifts of God in him flourishing in the right community. Are we together? So I must always be for the others. Is it clear, church? I must always be for what? For the us. I must always be for the we. For the us. Glory to God forevermore. What we call the indwelling of the Spirit also, that God giving His Spirit, definitely, He has given us His Spirit to have His desire. So you observe that the move of the Spirit always results in the building of a community of God. Because God functions and His plans thrives in communities. Are we together? To fulfill God's desires, I am for a community. Will function together. So I must always think about us, about others. I must always consider others. I must always consider others. Are we together? Decision making. Even when I'm switching relationships, I must consider others. Switching location, making a permanent decision, choice of course, choice of career, choices in my daily life, I must consider us. What is the us plan? Not what is my plan. Are we together? Because the gifts of God in individuals will flourish in associations. I see one or two more things and then I'll close. Are we together?
case study. Again, we see Jesus, Acts 9, appears to Saul of Tarsus. He appears to Saul of Tarsus and he sends him to Simon's house, the tanner. Then he says to go. And then, look at this. As Paul embarks on that, Jesus also appears to Ananias and tells him that someone is coming, or someone is at so-so place. Go there. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Go there. Go there. Now, could Jesus have spoken to Saul to go to Ananias' house? Could he? Could he? Straight away. But he says, go to what? Simon. He tells Ananias, he says, go to that place. Are we together? Or rather, Jesus spoke to Ananias and tells him to go to that place, and then he had shown Paul, and had Paul had known that he was coming. Relationships. God will go about his work amongst us in a way that will deepen our relationships. Are we together? Are we together? God, God has many routes, methods of getting things done. Okay? But you will choose the ones that will deepen relationships. He will choose the ones that will deepen what? Commitment and relationships. As believers in the local assembly, I must learn to go about things. I can have options, choices, but I must learn to go about it in the way that it will what? It will do what? It will build relationships. So, I ask you, will it build relationships? How will it build relationships? Amen. Are we learning something? How will he what? How will he build or strengthen the God's plan to that relationship? So you can have different styles, methods, options. How do I go about this? Okay, I can go about it this way. I can also go about it this way. I can go about it this way. But I will now choose the one that will do what? Will build the healthy relationship more. Because God is a God of what? Relationships. We call him Father. Father. Relationships. Are we together, church? Are we together? So, he will choose the path. He will choose the path.
you can almost tell which method God will use. You can almost tell which route he will take. You can almost tell why he chose that method. Because he will deepen, he will inspire, he will build godly relationships, because he walks towards relationships. So he sends Ananias to Saul. He says, go. And then Ananias, you know, maybe Ananias had been in a WhatsApp group where Paul's exploits were being posted all the time. Maybe Ananias was even one of the admins. So that day Ananias was praying, oh Lord, we pray that the word of the Lord will have a frequency. Is that supposed to be multiplied? Oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then was praying. Then Jesus just walked into his vision. I said, hi, what's up? Oh, wow, Lord, wow. Like the said, Pastor, wow. I said, oh Jesus, wow. I said, all right. There is this Saul of Tarsus. And I said, oh yeah, that foolish guy. Is he dead now? I just said, dead? Because you are praying. The every obstacle in the word of God. Be removed. Then you see the face of someone in your vision. Yes! I remove you. No. God wants what? Relationships. Are we together? Look at it. Some people, their prayers have killed the people that God has called to be in relationship with them, to strengthen his will. Imagine the churches that prayed against Paul and Paul had died. God wants what? I can as well close here today. God wants what? God wants what? God is for what? Don't forget, Satan works relationships too. So there's a need to be discerning. But God works through relationships. So he has different ways he can go by something. He will use one that will what? Best or strengthen or deepen a godly what? Relationship. Exactly, church. He sends Ananias. Ananias gets there, lays hands on Paul, and calls him Brother Saul. Paul will not now be able to tell the story of his ministry. Are we together? Without mentioning that brother that walked in love. And that's how God does his work. He uses men for men. The things you need. Are we together? Could Jesus not have opened the eyes of Paul? He could have. Are we together? Could have opened his eyes. But he sent him to Ananias. Or he sent Ananias to him. So the things that I need for the plan of God for my life, God will put it in what? Some other people. And look at me. You will now need the virtues of. Will you need patience? Will you need the virtues of patience? Will you need the virtues of humility? Will you need the virtues of forgiveness? Will you need the virtues of kindness to now be able to assess what is your own? Imagine, I now need humility to assess what is my own. But because God has put it in what? Others. Not hidden from you, but for you.
So there is a need for me to be discerning. Are we together? Ananias could have walked in anger. I said, no, 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 Lord, I'm not going. Sir, I know you have not been here for a while. You have been in the heavens. But this guy has ruined your church. He got your church. Did you hear last week? He took up. Lord, that church, he was the one. And you know. Should we be telling you the things you already know? Please, if it's another place, please. Please send me. This vision, I bind in the name of Jesus. Bind Jesus in the name of Jesus. Look at this. God wants what? Healthy what? Relationships. That is how what? He works. You know, we can close here today, right? We can close here today, right? Thank you. God wants what? So, to be what? Bettered. The one that is battered to be what? Strengthened. The one that is strong to be what? Further what? Built up. Bettered. Strengthened. Built up. So, look at me, everybody. Look at me. Stop writing. Look at me. Stop writing. In handling matters, you will have options, suggestions. You will choose the one that will do what? That will reinforce your relationship with the person more. In a godly way. In a what? In a godly way. Because don't forget that if I say I don't need that relationship, that association, and I handle it anyhow, and it got fractured, there are people that you have not seen their faces that need that relationship to be healthy. You have not seen their faces, they have not seen your faces. But they need that association to be strong and healthy. The fruits of it are for them. And God can see it. Because your association. So, my relating with you is bigger than the two of us. It is you and I, but it is bigger. That is why Satan doesn't joke with relationships. He will ruin it. And he will play the game as dirty as he can. He doesn't flow by the rules. No. He doesn't. So, look at everybody. Are we safe to say that God is not behind divorces? Answer me, I'm the pastor in the church. I'm asking, are we safe to say that? That God is not behind what? Divorces. He's not. Are we together? At least know that. He is not the one behind it. He wants what? Strengthened godly what? Associations. Because that is the vehicle that carries his plan unto maturity. Let me claim this. Case study 4. You observe, Paul was not known in Antioch. He was at Tarsus. And in 1125, Barnabas goes to Tarsus to fetch Paul. Barnabas brought him or brings him to Antioch. Obviously, Barnabas is not the one God will use. It was Saul of Tarsus that God will use. But God put the love of Saul in Barnabas' heart, and he went and acted on it. He goes to fetch Barnabas. He brings him to Antioch,
and Antioch becomes a major ground for Paul's ministry. A major place in history for Paul's ministry and ministerial prominence. But Paul didn't get to Barnabas to Antioch alone. Barnabas brought him there and recommended him to the church. And that was all that Paul needed to write all the letters that we read today. That was all he needed. Friendships. Godly friendships. See, godly friendships are not things you walked into in your common sense. I know you allowed the person. I know you probably made a decision to come close, to initiate the conversation. You made a decision to exchange numbers. Just like you do with casual relationships, there are also godly relationships. And it's not likely that God will make your mind to be numb at the entry point of those relationships. No, you will walk into it the same way you walk into relationships. But the fruit of it will now show you that this is a peculiar relationship. He wants us to be discerning. So in our study, we'll be looking at that twofold manifestation. We're going to be looking at godly relationships. We are going to be looking at relationships at large. And God has planned for both. I say number one, God wants you to keep relationships. And the supernatural ones, He needs you to do what? To protect it. Are we together? I will add one more. In Acts 13, verse 1 and 2, He now uses men to confirm Paul's ministry. He uses men to confirm Paul's ministry. They now laid hands on them and ministered the gift of God to them. Relationships. Relationships. Be careful of people that fraction their relationships. And that's what social media makes you to do today. Someone that, I've seen some things, and I'm very shocked though. I'll close now. I've seen people behave like idiots. Someone that, on a normal world though, in normal world, normal grounds, someone that, it will take you, except for the grace of God, it will take you 100 lifetimes before you can meet that person. That means you are not in the same category. You are in the same category. Imagine you and the president of the nation. Someone that normally, except for the grace of God, if you like, spend 100 lifetimes, you can't have access to them. You cannot. Social media now makes you to mock at the person, curse at the person, and even swear at the person. You even tagged his hand. Now, what I'm talking about has nothing to do with the president of the nation. I'm talking about someone else. I just like, this person, you, with all the things you are seeing on your profile, in 10 lifetimes, you can't meet this person. Are we together? We must have the wisdom for relationships. It boils out of the fact that God uses relationships. Peter gets up in Acts 15, case 36. He gets up in Acts 15, and then he spoke concerning the apostles. James also spoke. They now wrote a letter of recommendation to all the churches and the cities concerning Paul and Barnabas. Imagine Pastor Adeboye writes a letter of recommendation to you for the churches. Look at the acceptance. That was what Peter did for Paul. Associations. So I have a duty to watch out for and guard my God-given relationships. I ask myself a question. How did Jesus handle Peter's betrayal? That Peter still became chief of the apostles in God's mission. That is wisdom. Now, notice what I have not said. I didn't say all relationships in your life must be encouraged. Two, I did not say God walks through all the relationships in your life. Three, I did not say there is something in everybody in your life for you. I didn't say everybody in your life has something for you. I didn't say that. But I'm saying that God has wisdom for associations. And you are going to have less useless relationships to the degree at which you know how to walk into relationships in a godly way. Some relationship will not even start, and that's God's plan. Some will not be ruined, and that's God's plan. Are we together, church? So I have a duty, amen, to guard my God-given relationship. And what I do with those relationships is what I have done with the will of God for my life. What I've done, or what I do with those relationships, is what I have done with the will of God for my life. Guard godly relationships. So the greatest thing that will happen to a man on the earth is salvation. The next is relationships. Because relationships will now lead you into knowledge, which will now transform your life. Relationships will provide you opportunities, which will transform your life. That is why the next important thing to a Christian after salvation is a good local assembly, the church. Have you found yourself a church, or you have allowed God to put you in an assembly? You must make sure that you allow God to put you in an assembly. Look at this guy, Samuel. He meets Saul, the son of, not Saul of Tarsus, chapter 10. And then the guy was looking for his father's oxen. And then he meets Samuel, and Samuel says, as you go by the way of the guy, he says, you will get into the company of certain men. In that company, the Spirit of God will come upon you as the prophesy, you will also prophesy. Are we together? Now, why didn't Samuel, who was the prophet, do exactly to Saul what he said he would go and do there? God will build relationships. Go and check all the visions in the book of Acts. There was no vision that led to the ruining of relationships. No vision. Today someone said, I saw my grandfather's grandmom, and he was the one giving me bread in the dream. What you see depends on what you have seen. Are we together? But God strengthens what? Relationships. Ezekiel, church, I must therefore see the plan of God and walk with it. Do not ruin relationships. Do not be reason why relationships are ruined, especially ones you perceive to be godly. It therefore means, as we interact and things like offenses, disappointments, issues happen, I must be positioned to receive godly wisdom in handling such issues, especially when it's with the godly relationships. Supernatural relationships. Working with God is by heeding His instructions, and heeding His instructions is with and amongst relationships. I've told you, no letter was written to anyone personally. Everybody was addressed corporately. And the letters written to individuals were pastoral letters. Are we together? So I must bear in mind as I close that every human being will offend me. I didn't say some. Every will offend me. You also offend people. Luke 17:1 says it is not possible that there are no offenses. Everyone is human enough to offend. To offend, rather. Everyone. Human enough. Are we together? Particularly those that God has brought your way. When God became man, he offended people too. Amen? It is I that will have the wisdom. I'm going to talk about a little bit on that next week, and I hope we get into our study on this subject next week. So, I must position myself for wisdom to handle relationships. Wisdom to go about issues. But it mustn't lead to the ruin. See, one of the ways that you will know that you are handling something wrongly or about to handle it wrongly is when the way I handle it, are we together? Maybe I'll talk about it Sunday. The way I handle it ruined the relationship of that person with other people. See, that's a sign. I mean, yes, this person has done this, or has done this, or this person has said this. Are we together? This person has said this to me. The way I handled what he or she said led to the relationship between that person and the other person, are we together, or other people, being fractured. That immediately is a sign. So oftentimes, what we need to do is to do a checker or to have a checker. Have a checker. What's a checker? A personal review of how a method, what fruit it will bear. I hope what I'm saying this morning is not above your heads. Eh? I said there are kids here, and kids can even relate what I'm saying. Are we together? Are we together? You're not even answering. So, I must have a what? A personal check. I'll talk about this more next week, okay? Because I want to close. I must have a checker. Sometimes as a pastor, you want to melt discipline. And then you're like, okay. Your task is, as a leader, your task is, how do I go about this? That the issue is resolved. Are we together? And, okay, let me put it this way. This fellow is not seen in a terrible light, very especially by those the person blesses. I have not handled it well when people can receive again. I have not. So that is why we require wisdom, patience, humility, and being very spiritual. Notice something. He says in Galatians 6:1, if somebody be overtaken in a fault, he says, let him that is what? Spiritual. In other words, don't let people undo issues that involves other issues. People that are not in themselves what? Spiritual. Because part of being spiritual is that they will know that they themselves can be overtaken in the fault. So you are aware of inadequacies. Having been aware of inadequacies, out of compassion, you now deal with issues. You are likely going to build relationships well. You are not going to ruin issues if you handle it out of that awareness, compassion, and godly sincerity. That is why we need to embark on a study to know what relationships are, to know the how, to know the why. I'm already giving you the why. That's what I'm starting with. The why. Starting with the why. I'm starting with the why. The gifts of God are in men. I'll give you more case studies if I feel like. But I think I've given you enough. I can save some for next year. Are we together? So, look at this. The why, the gift of God are what? In men. Say for me, I close here. The gift of God are where?
in men. See, what you need, God has given it to another. Sometimes the money you need is with someone else. Oftentimes, what we call miracles is simply we meeting kind hearts. Sometimes, the money you need, the opportunities you need, are you with me? Sometimes, it is the contact that you need. The contact. The privileges that you need. Oh, God has blessed me with this. You need a privilege to express the gift of God. If you are called of God and the grace of God is upon your life, you need other ministries. A church needs other churches. God functions in what? Communities. You need other people to give you space, opportunity to express the gift of God in you. And sometimes you join the church and after some weeks you are now in the workforce. That is God using people to give you space to express the gift of God. Oh, I have a songs ministry, a singing ministry, and God uses people to give you platform to bless lives. Sometimes the platform can now lead into some other benefits that will come into your life. But look at this. The greatest and the most terrible thing that can happen to a man is to not have avenue to express the grace of God. It is worse than a prison that a man does not have an avenue. Notice that was the messenger of Satan that Paul was talking about. See, there's this opposition for me to express the gift of God, and I besought God that I should take it away. Are we together? Have you observed how Paul himself, another case study, there are plenty of case studies. You observed how Paul himself, look at Moses. As mighty as Moses is, he took his elder sister to create a space for him in Pharaoh's house. The mother put the child on the water. As mighty Moses, maybe you don't know Moses. For generation to generation, even in the resurrection, we'll be teaching Moses. As Moses is, he now took his elder sister. It was now that one that said, I can bring a nanny. That one too was wise. He went to call what? The mom. So look at mom, elder sister, was now used for who? Moses. Look at Jesus too. Mom. The mom, the cousin, the auntie. God will now use auntie, cousin, mom to preserve his plan for himself in the flesh. Look at Paul too. Paul escaped death 3 times. It was because of relationships. They carried him through baskets. I think it was that same Acts 11 or is it Acts 9 now? Look him through baskets. It was Acts 9. Out of the city, the church. Later on, I think Acts 16 or so, or Acts 17. They stoned him. Acts 15. Was it Acts 15? Acts 16 or Acts 17? They stoned him and left him for to be dead. And then the saints gathered around him, restored him. Are we together? Restored him. They gave him cold water. They gave him, resuscitation, Abi? CPR. Pastor without the anointing and the grace of God. The mighty evangelist is dealing the same. So that he can now say, lift up your hands and give God praise. The natural and the supernatural are together. Are we together, sir? So in walking in God's divine plans and purposes for our lives, we must esteem relationships. Don't say things that will ruin people's image. Don't also say things that makes it difficult for people to bless you later because you couldn't take it back. Because some people say that words are like eggs. You fall in, gone. So don't say things. I'm going to show you
much necessary. Don't say things. Don't tell people who can or who will. Are we together? Those who will. Are we together? Don't. I think some people, someone has done something, you know, and then some people now take to, you take to WhatsApp status. So if you get to that, you are just an idiot. You are an idiot. I mean, you are an idiot. I'm saying that it came out that you are an idiot. You now go to status, you are now writing. Mm-mm. Godly wisdom. Are we together, church? You have a duty to build relationships. You're about to say something. Say that human beings are like clothing, right? That's very true. In your last show, that's very true. Some of us, at moments of failure, will now see how people will turn out or turn on for us. It will now humble you. You now see that those who despised are actually God's answer. It's only a fool that learns from experiences. Experiences are not the best teacher. Experiences are the toughest teacher. Because it will not mind your emotions. It will deal with you. So, you don't have to learn from the toughest teacher. God's word is the best teacher. See, I'm taught of God's word. I honor God's word. I honor relationships. I keep relationships. I open my eyes to allow God to show me the people in my life that He has put in my life. Are we together? Are we together? Relationships. Relationships. Later on in Acts 21 or so, it was now his sister's son that went to tell the ruler that some hired assassins are waiting for Paul. That means, look at it. Hired assassins are waiting for you. The Holy Ghost didn't show Paul. Why doesn't he show Paul? He didn't know by the Spirit. He didn't even know. He was now his sister's son. What would that be? Would that be his nephew? So look at this. God has planted people around you. At least it's time to open your eyes and to maximize relationships. Are we together? Are we together? So what time are we? It's time to do what? Maximize what? Relationships. To place the call. Even though the person wrongs you, you place the call. Where are you? I let you go. No. Well, it don't matter. I'm calling you not because where are you? Are we together? So people will keep quiet 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, a whole week. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, nursing the grudge of what somebody said. You are a proud person. And God will resist you. The statement that said that God resists the proud was written by a pastor to his congregation. God will resist his children. God resists his own children. Are we together? In training them out of pride. See, there's no pride in my life. There's no pride in my heart. Only God's word. There's no hurt in my heart. Only God's word. There's no opposition in my heart. I don't oppose people. I'm not an opposer. Only God's word. In 2-3 minutes this morning, spend time praying for your relationships. Just pray for people that God has sent in your life. Yep. That you walk in wisdom. You are not proud. You know how to handle issues. When I feel folks let me down, sometimes it's the pastor. The congregation can let the pastor down. As I stand before you, I've been let down severally. Yep. Friends let friends down.
family, siblings, home, sometimes parents. I met someone a while ago, he said, my dad, I can never forgive him. Because he felt the father was not there. He felt the father wasn't there at a young age where he needed the father most. He said, I can never forgive him. No, that's not a Christian. I have wisdom. I am taught of God to handle my relationships in a way that it brings glory to God, defeats the plans of Satan, and helps people to be blessed. Pray. Relationships. I handle relationships well. I don't walk in the flesh. I don't hurt relationships. And at the same time, I'm not overcome by hurts. I build the assembly. I don't think about us. I don't think about me. I don't think about self. I think more about us. I think about we. Because God is thinking about us. God is thinking about us. I think about us because God is thinking about us. God is thinking about you and that fellow. God is thinking about you and those people. God is thinking about you in that family as a family. God is thinking about you in that church as a church. God is thinking about you in that workplace as a team. God is thinking about you in that neighborhood as a household. God is thinking about us. I think about us. So this week across all the details, we're praying for our relationships. Monday prayer groups, Friday prayer groups, Wednesday, cell meeting period. We're praying for our relationships in the local assembly. And every godly relationship in our lives, even outside the assembly, we're praying. We are smart, we are intelligent, we are builders. Yes. Thank you, Spirit of God. Yes. Pray some more, that you are wise. That you are deliberate and intentional. I'm not overcome by hearts. I don't allow the flesh to rule me. I also walk in the Spirit, so I don't tempt people. I walk in the Spirit. So I don't put people in position of hearts. I walk in the Spirit. I am helped of God. I am helped of God. I overcome prejudice by the help of the Spirit. I'm spiritual in my conduct. Yes.
God in my love of God, so fully shed abroad. And in His name, I'll do all He's called me to do. And in His name, I'll do all He's called me to do.